So let's,
this conference will.
This talk is going to be about taking that little crystal of yours and turning it a little bit, just tweaking your approach to prospecting. Because a lot of us get stuck and we get in the doldrums and we don't like approaching people, just talking to people, and we figure out all the different ways to go and talk to people at post offices and grocery stores, lifestyle prospecting. And sometimes we feel like we're on that hamster wheel. We keep chasing that tail and we're not like getting a lot of good leads. How many have felt that way? If I had you all raise your hands, I'd probably see all of you raising your hands at this juncture of the call, because I know that you're in the same boat I am when I go out there and I find people from all walks of lives and all different circumstances. And there are a lot of people that are kind of negative and ornery and kind of cranky, and you know, that's their choice. That's their, you know, they can choose into that. But those kind of people don't typically make the best network marketers. Have you guys found that out? Yeah, exactly. So Todd Falcone did this incredible training about how to target higher quality professional people, people that you would typically probably say, Mary Jo, those people are on my chicken list. Well, nah, get them off the chicken list. And that's what we're going to talk about today, and we're going to talk about the why. So there's a lot of greatness in what he shared, and I very much enjoyed his training. And in fact, I'm thinking of taking it to another level to train specifics, maybe developing a training around, maybe a four-week training, around how to implement this in your business so that it would be more helpful for everybody too. I haven't figured that out yet, but I know I can teach you guys on Monday morning calls, and there's only a small few of you are going to take what I say today and just run with it. The rest of you are going, oh, Mary Jo, I need some language, I need this, I need help, I need, and so I know there's more that's needed there. So we'll try to figure out how to do that, because I'm on board with this 100%. So anyway, the recruit, let's talk about why do we recruit up rather than simply recruit anyone. That's a great question to ask, because most of us are in the business, what have we been doing? And Todd even had a great comment about it. He says, most of us, we take a mirror and we put it under their nose and see if there's any condensation left on the mirror, and then boom, they're a prospect, right? In other words, if they have a pulse, we want to sign them up. And that's the way we've been going after prospecting. And of course, there's a huge problem with that because we have a hard time creating success in these people, because a lot of times you find out a lot of the people that you're going after that you're just looking if they breathe or have a pulse, they really don't have a successful approach to life. They don't. They have skepticism. They're negative. They don't think anything's going to happen to them right. They're stuck in their own environment, and it's a burden. I mean, we end up burdening ourselves. We end up just getting caught in all their stuff. And his concept is that until you're approaching recruiting up, in other words, you're going up in the socioeconomic chain, you will not understand why you want to do it. So you need to do it once. Go up and find somebody that's probably upward socially mobile. Maybe you're same. Everybody's different in terms of socioeconomic status. But, you know, go after somebody that's successful. And once you get one person who's successful to join your organization, you watch how they operate and how they take off, you're going to say, I'm never going back. You know, once you do it, you'll never go back, because it's amazing what a difference it is in terms of the professionalism and the relationship you build, and you can get rid of a lot of other things. Now, the other things he says you create a culture of doers, because the key to success in network marketing is what? Well, you guys all know what that is. It's building a big team of self-reliant, responsible producers that have both the willingness and the capacity to do what we do on a daily basis. Right? Everybody agree? One more time. The key to success in network marketing is building a big team of self-reliant, responsible producers that have both the willingness and the capacity to do what we do on a daily basis. So that's the number one reason why you want to recruit up. You want to find high-quality professional people in your network marketing business. So let's look at some of the other reasons. Number two, it creates a culture of doers. If you find people who are already successful, what do you know about them? They're doers. Typically, they are people that are out there doing things. They're into action. They're not stuck in inaction. So it's nice to hang out at the unemployment lines and try to sign people up, but some of those people kind of have that unemployment drive. It's like, you know, you can find a lot of people. I think something happened to my phone, Lynn. Is everybody still on? I heard somebody. Let me do zero. Okay, I'm hoping everybody's still on. I'm starting to get an echo. All right, so where was I? So instead of going into the unemployment line perhaps what we do is we're looking at people that might be stuck in the trap. I mean, maybe it's a generational bondage thing that they take from the system versus give to the system. And you might want to say, well, Mary Jo, I'm trying to help them get out of that trap. Well, that's great. That's a project you're willing to work on, and that's an awesome project. But you have to understand that when you get into it, you're working on a project. Instead of the success of your organization, now you're doing that's part of your charity work. And you got to distinguish those things, because I'm not saying they're wrong. In fact, I have a heart and passion for those who have not, a huge heart and passion. That's what makes me go out there and strive, and I set up a foundation to help these people, and I do all these things. But, you know, for my business, I want those people in my business, once they've achieved a place where they have overcome some of that generational bondage. So you've got to look at that and understand what you're getting yourself into. So we want a culture of doers. We want people who are willing to do. They're willing to take action. They're willing to get out of their comfort zone, right? They're willing to do things they've never done before because it's just exciting and fun, and they're willing to venture out. So you want to create a culture of doers. That's one of the other reasons that you want to go up. You want to reduce the frustration, the aggravation in prospecting. All of us have done that. We've gone out there and how many times have you met with people? Like 3-4 times and, oh, I don't have the money. They get so excited. You sit down with them and you do a presentation. You can see they're so excited. They're just so on fire. They're ready to get going. They pull out of your energy because you come in with so much enthusiasm and they get it and they do it. And then they go home and they get back in that jar of crabs. Now, I use that not as a literal but a figurative. What happens is, their family members start crabs at the bottom of that jar. And you know what happens when one of the crabs tries to get out of the jar, the rest of the crabs pinch them and pull them back down. And so they give them all the reasons why not. And then they end up not going forward. And you're just totally annihilated because you go, my gosh, I thought for sure this person would say yes. I don't know what happened to them. Well, because they were lack of believers. They weren't doers. They really weren't visionaries. And they're allowing other people to control their lives. So all that frustration is gone when you find successful people. I think a successful person who says, yeah, hey, this is game. I'm into this. This is great. They're not going to let somebody else stop them. They're not going to let a roadblock. They overcome barriers. And they sure don't let other people control their lives because they didn't get to be successful by letting other people control their lives. So the part of that frustration, aggravation that we all have in prospecting, or how about the people that you do a great presentation and they go, I don't have the money. Well, you can come in at, you know, just at $100, $99. I don't have the money. They don't even have $99. And then what you do is because you're such a compassionate person that you go, okay, what if I pay it? What if I buy it for you? And guess what they say then? They go, well, I don't know. Let me think about it. You can't even buy them a box, right? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's just about to drive you bonkers. If you had enough of it, then get out of it. Quit doing that nonsense. Another reason why you want to recruit up is because it accelerates your organizational growth and potential. Why? Why does it accelerate your organizational growth? Because you're dealing with positive people. And number two, who is their sphere of influence? Who's in that sphere of influence? Other positive people, because the dynamics of who they associate with has helped them get to be successful where they were today. So guess who they have surrounding them? So you get to tap into all that, they tap into it, and all of a sudden you have a whole cadre of people that are dynamic and going forward and moving forward and exciting and dynamic, right? So another great part of it. And then finally, it makes business building a process fun. Absolutely. Because instead of stumbling back every 5 seconds on somebody's personality flaw or self-development issue, which are massive, and doesn't mean that successful people don't have self-development issues. Everybody can use further growth in that area, including those of us that have had years of self-development in our life, we always can grow. But the idea of the roadblocks that you come up against, some of the people that, you know, they haven't even figured out how to climb up to success. And some of them have abandoned it. Some of them don't even have a dream in their lives. So what makes business fun, we're having a dream board session. What day this week, Lid? Friday. Friday we're doing a dream board building. Well, if I weren't dealing with successful people, who would show up? These people aren't going to show up to build a dream board who don't have any dreams, right? So you want to have something that's fun, yeah, fun and enjoyable and dynamic, and that's what going up will get you. Time is your only limited asset, so use it to prospect and present to people who both want it and are capable of it. You know, again, don't waste your time convincing and chasing broken, skeptical people. we spend a lot of time doing that, and you spend hours and endless hours on these people, and when they finally, you know, if they do sign up, they'll disappoint you magnanimously. You'll pour into them, and all of a sudden, then you're going to call me on the phone or call your upline and say, you know what, Mary Jo, this business just doesn't work. And I'm going, because you're not working the business. When you surround yourself with broken, skeptical people, what's going to happen? Sorry to say it, but I believe in what, you know, that book, How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM by John Kalinch. He said one of the most critical parts of your life is your environment. You want to surround yourself with what? With positive, moving forward people. I always tell the story about one time where there was an executive director in my downline, and she was so negative. All she did every time she called was she railed on Manatech. I mean, this is in 2001, 2002, 2003, you know, early stages. And I was just like, I finally called the person. I said, you know what? You and I are done talking. And she was appalled. She's in my organization. I'm her leader. And I explained to her, I said, no one has a right to rob my joy, and you drain me of joy because you want to stay negative all the time. Instead of coming from solution, you always want to come from problem. I said, you go figure that out in your life because you are not going to be a good leader to other people, and you sure as heck aren't going to rob me. And maybe this just isn't for you. If you're that miserable, find something you can be excited about. And that was it. Well, that was 5-6 years ago. Where is she today? Well, she's no longer executive director, but she's back in the business working it hard, and she's exciting and dynamic, and she just won the trip. And I mean, this is great. But you don't need to be going after and working with people who are just robbing you. Look at that. How many people are taking from you? Right. So you don't spend time is your only limited asset. I've taught you that a zillion times. You've read it a million times. It's the only thing that distinguishes. I mean that is non-distinguishable between people. Everybody has the exact same amount of time. So you can look at Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, and you can look at Mary Jo, and you can look at yourself, and you can say, okay, we all had the same amount of time. What did we do with it? And if that doesn't give you a reality check about, okay, now what do I need to be doing differently than to create what I want to create in my life, then that's going to help you make the shift. So be conscious of that. Staring at your phone doesn't work. Of course not. You know, that 10,000-pound phone, that doesn't get you anywhere. And then people, there's another thing, trying to figure out how to generate your own leads. Todd Falcone said that's a waste of time. There are 101 lead generation vehicles out there. You don't have to figure out how to generate your own leads. Just pick up some of the things that are already out there. In fact, this is a great one. We're going to talk about specific strategies today on how to get leads. And you don't need to, you know, you spend all this time thinking about doodads. Oh, I can't wait to put hangers on houses. I can't wait to put little tabs on cars. People who like to do that kind of stuff are people that just don't like to interact with people. They're trying to keep that person-to-person communication down. Because that's the biggest waste of money on the face of the earth. How do I know it? Because I've done it. We all have gone through all of that, okay? But you gotta just find a program that makes some sense to you and run with it. And I don't mean do it half-hearted. I mean put 100% of yourself into it. He also said don't lie about being an expert or having made massive money. You know, it's just because your consciousness won't be with you. You want to stay in integrity in this business. You know, they have that saying that fake it till you make it. You fake like you're, you know, a millionaire or something. That's a bunch of garbage. He says that's garbage. Because now you're dishonest to yourself. He says, you know, there's a certain part of you that just, you gotta stop promoting those kind of things. Don't misrepresent who you are. He says the best way to brand yourself is not through lies, but what is it? It's to produce. So go out there and produce. If you go out in the next month and you sign up 10 people, guess what? You are going to have a brand because you're going to be so on fire in Manatech, you're going to be attracting people like no tomorrow. You ever notice that happens when you start building momentum, all of a sudden it just takes off? I worked with somebody one time and I talked about the momentum issue, and you know what she said to me? She goes, well, Mary Jo, I don't think I can manage more than one new person a month. And I went, okay. Because you know what? That's okay. It's okay if that's how you choose to grow your business, but you're not going to get Mary Jo's, you know, coaching and all that if you're in my organization, because you're not really in the business. You're doing it as a hobby. And you're going to get hobby income, maybe, if you even get that. One a month is a slow process. You want to get out there and build a business, and you want to make things happen. You want to start growing that business by more than one a month. Right? You want to start, because everybody you talk to has some interest in health or wealth or a mission, and you got all answers for all three. You're going to find somebody who grabs onto one of those three or two of those three or three of those three. If you contact 10 people a day, I guarantee you you're going to find at least one. A 10% return is you know, pretty good. It's probably about where new people are. A 30, 40, 50% return is when you're, you know, down the road 3-4 years, and when you get really good at it, you might have a 70% return. But you got to get out there. It's all about people. So don't spend time generating. Don't lie about who making money or made some money. Just go out there and be productive. Thinking you are going to make money by hiding behind your computer and doing it all online is a joke and waste of time. He was really big on that. Todd said that he goes, I don't know anyone. I don't know any person that was totally successful at doing online only. He says, you can use online. He says, I believe in technology. He uses online. He uses some mechanisms of recruiting. But he said, are you kidding me? That's just one small aspect of my business. So he just says that's where people want to just hide behind their computers, and that's not going to be effective. It's not going to get you where you want to. And, you know, there are a couple of people that kind of built their business that way in Manatech, and they're not in Manatech anymore. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Their business grew, and then it fell apart. And so it's like it's intriguing. You also find people, I find out that when you do online stuff and you recruit just, you know, kind of cold calling and those kind of things, that you find people that don't really reflect your values. And they're very hard for you to work with, because if people aren't kind of in your value stream, it's very hard to be supportive of them. It's very, very hard, because there's such an inherent conflict in who you are as people and what you're trying to accomplish in life. And then he said, if you're not prospecting, presenting, you're really not in business. So he made a huge point, which we all make, which is you ask yourself daily, how many new people have I shown my business to in the past 24 hours? Sorry, there says you're their typo. But how many new people have I shown my business to in the past 24 hours? I just ask you guys that. How many people have you shown your business to in the last 48 hours? How about in the last week? Some of you on this phone would probably say, oh, Mary Jo, I didn't show it to anyone. Well, are you in the business? That's when I start asking, are you in the business? This isn't even a hobby. If you didn't even show it to one person all week, you're not even in a hobby. You're not even in the ball game. You're still in the parking lot. You haven't even given them your ticket to go sit in your seat to finally get into the dugout, where you then enter the batter's box and maybe you finally get on base. But you're in the parking lot, stalled out. So you want to make sure that you do what? You want to go after people that want it and are capable of it, and don't waste your precious time. Okay? Make sure that that's going on for you, because you just have so many things that can be roadblocks to you, and you don't want those roadblocks in your life. You don't want roadblocks, and we create our own roadblocks, don't we? And some of the roadblocks he brought up are roadblocks like being fearful of not being good enough. You know, that's why we call it our chicken list. We don't want to approach those people because we're not good enough. Wait. I never get that not good enough, especially when it comes from Christians. I go, golly, you're condemning God by saying you're not good enough. You are. God created you in his image, and all of a sudden you're going to tell me you're not good enough. Wow, that's pretty unimpressive. I mean, you know, if you ever read any stories, and I apologize for those of you who may not be Christians on the call, but it's a great, you know, the Bible's still a great book for you, and you ought to spend more time in it anyway. But Moses is in there, right? And God approaches them, and he says, this is what I want you to do, set my people free in Egypt. And Moses goes, oh, my gosh, I'm not good enough. Right? I mean, he became a whiner and complainer. And what's one of the main principles behind that whole passage and that whole story? Why did God reveal that story to us? He revealed the story because he said, it's not about you. I am here to what? To support you. I equip you. It's incredible that we can sit here and feel inadequate, and yet the Lord's there willing to equip us with whatever is our heart's desire, and we're going, oh, no, I'm not good enough. I mean, it's ludicrous. You don't want to be embarrassed. What do you want to be? Moses didn't want to be embarrassed either. God solved that problem for him as well. I mean, we just get stuck. We get that's not good enough stuff is for the birds. Not knowing where to find them. How many of you want to complain about not knowing where to find good people? Well, we're going to talk about that today, because you're going to get a lot of ideas that you can go out and you can start working on them the minute you get off this phone call. Because there are plenty of quality people out there. There are plenty of successful people. There are plenty of people that would fit perfectly in your business. But maybe you're right. You don't know how to find them yet. So that's why you're on this call this morning, because you're going to get some insight on how to find them. Number three, lacking self-confidence to approach them. You don't know what to say. So you got the first factor, you're not good enough. The second is, okay, I don't have enough confidence to approach them, what to say. And that includes the last one, being at a loss for words. So you don't want to make a fool of yourself. So you got to build some confidence. So how do you build confidence? You go out and do things. People say, what's the best builder of confidence? To be successful at something. So how do you be successful at something? By taking action and going out and doing it. You might fall 10 times, but the one time you make it happen, guess what? You're successful and your confidence just skyrocketed. But if you sit in your chair waiting to be successful, what's going to happen? It's never going to come to you. Success doesn't just come to you, you know, dropped in your lap. You got to go out and pursue it. You got to take action. It's like faith without action is dead. Manitech without action is also dead. So you've got to step into action. And self-confidence comes with little successes. So, and that doesn't mean don't prepare yourself. If you lack self-confidence, you got to do some self-confidence exercises. There are plenty of them. Go on Google and say, what are self-confidence exercises? You can work yourself up. You start doing affirmations. There are plenty of ways to build your self-confidence. So you go out there and you just talk. Let nerves, don't, it's not about you. It's about what? Doing the best you can. Prepare yourself. Go in there and do it. You are who you are. A person who's successful is going to look at you, and if you come across, you're not, you might not be at their same level. You come across to them. If you come across to them exactly who you are, that's exactly what they're looking for. They love natural people. Because a lot of successful people deal with a lot of phony people. Do you notice that? That there's some phony people out there. But when you come in and you're totally natural and you're just honest and truthful, it's sometimes shocking to people. They just go, wow, I know exactly where you're coming from. I know exactly what you're thinking, Mary Jo. I don't ever have to question that you're on some other agenda because you are who you are. You tell it like it is. Even if it's not popular, you say it like it is. And that's what you want to be. You want to be you. Right? And lost for words, that's just preparation. That's just be prepared. I'm not telling you to just walk in there and start talking about switch for real when you don't even know what it's about. You got to get prepared. You got to have language down. But I don't want you to spend 6 months getting prepared. Because one of the great ways to be more prepared is by going out and doing it, because you learn the lessons about what works, what doesn't work. That's why when I first built my binder program, what did I do? I started using it immediately, and I fine-tuned it. I added a couple places where I thought it needed more support, and now I have a presentation in my binder that I use with everybody. It flows naturally. It's so much fun. It's a blast to go out and do it. But, you know, I didn't know exactly what I was going to say when I first started, but I had to go out and do it to get the words down so then I could see how it flowed. And you need to do the same thing. All right? So roadblocks to recruiting talent, get them out of your way. Knock them down. Don't let anything stop you. If you're going to let these things stop you, then I'm going to ask you, what are you doing in Manitech? What are you doing in Manitech? You're not really here to help people. Because, you know, if you go out there and you deal with broke and skeptical people all your life, your success is going to be so limited instead of stepping into something greater that can create phenomenal results, not just for you, but for all the people you touch. If you find successful people, they're going to go out and they're going to build your organization in 10 seconds flat. You're going to all of a sudden see a year later you're going to have a presidential leg and you're going to still be back, well, I found one Mary Jo, but I'm still not even a regional because I don't have the outside $500 right now. No, if you find one, you're going to find more because now you've proven to yourself that you're competent and capable of doing that. So you just keep working at it and find that next person. Then you're national, find that third person, then you're executive and then presidential. And you find a fourth one and you're platinum. But you're not going to do it with broke and skeptical people, right? You got to do it with people that have energy, that are confident, that are ready to go. Okay, recruiting talent strategies. He talked about five specific strategies, and I want to go over those with you because I think they're important for all of us to take a look at. There are specific strategies you can start implementing today. He said number one recruiting strategy is avoiding the most costly mistake most people make. And I left that in the outline because it was kind of a little teaser. It says, what is the most costly mistake people make? What most people think is the path of least resistance is actually the path of greatest resistance. Most people think it's easiest to go down the socioeconomic chain in order to recruit, because all of a sudden you're smarter than, you have higher economics, they're going to be attracted to you because they see the money that you have compared to them, and in comparison they want to be where you are. And, you know, we go through all this kind of logic that supports us into approaching people in this way. So we make these approaches, but what happens? Are you successful in that approach? Look at the results you've created. Todd Falcone will tell you the successful people are the easiest to recruit. Why is that? Because they're successful. They're looking for opportunities. They believe in anything can happen. They believe they can create something greater than they've already created. They don't have all these problems in their belief systems, in their self-development, that hold them back. They can believe, you find somebody that everything they touch turns to gold, they're going to want to touch Manitech, because that's another thing that can turn into gold. And those are the people that, you know what's so much fun about dealing with successful people? It's always going back to Robert Kiyosaki and talking about, you know, the real truly, you know, people who, the real people who build fortunes in life, they build multiple streams of income. So that if anything happens in any realm of their life, they always have four or five other streams that they can fall back on. And when I read that about Kiyosaki, I was like, wow, that is so cool. So, you know, back 6 years ago, we started doing real estate. We started doing, you know, option trading. Over the last 5-6 years, we started looking and building multiple streams of income. I mean, it was just, but successful people have that. I mean, they need to, with successful, you can build that vision for them about how critical it is, and then help them see what this is, one of that stream of income that can be incredibly promising for them in a huge way, because it's ongoing income every month, whether they choose to do it or don't choose to do it. On a, you know, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, they might make a different direction, but guess what they've built? They built an annuity for themselves. So that's the cool thing about working with successful people. So you got and they're attracted to it. And successful people, the other thing about successful people, why they're easier to sign up than unsuccessful people or people that are lower socioeconomic, is because they're more open-minded. How did they get where they got? By being open-minded to things, looking at different things. A lot of people who are unsuccessful are just, they are so closed. Did you ever get that with people you're prospecting with? And they have so much judgment and so much perception problem. They're stuck. They're really stuck. So be careful with that. What do we hear from lower socioeconomic people? They're skeptical. They say, oh, I'm broke, I can't afford it, call me back in 6 months. You know, I can't do the automatic order. Their life at the glass is half empty, right? Everything's half empty. So everything in their life, they got the short stick to everything, and you're all of a sudden kind of coming and change that in a person. Phew. I mean, yeah, I have a heart and passion for those people, but you know what? Being in my business, they're going to drag me down. Until they make those changes, they're going to drag me down. So you want to look at that chicken list. You want to, you know, you want to get after that chicken list and really go after those people. Number one, they always have money to start. And number two, they have an incredible sphere of influence to tap into. And those are invaluable for you. Okay, so strategy number one, get out of your head that it's easier to go down than it is to go up in a socioeconomic basis, and start going after that chicken list. Number two, harnessing the power of projection. He talks here, the prospect's reality of you is what you decide it should be. Right. People's reality of you is what you project in the marketplace. So the reality is of what you project is what you choose to be. What are you going to choose to project? I told Lydia the other day, because sometimes I get kind of lazy about what I wear when I'm running around the house all day. You know, I might stay in my workout outfit after we work out at 6. And in fact, I'm in it right now as I'm giving this talk. And I say, you know what, when we go out and we go, you know, we stop at the grocery store or go out and pick up something at Sam's or run an errand in the middle of the day, sometimes we do that just to get out and meet people. I say, you know what, I'm a wreck. I'm not carrying myself as a successful person when I'm all grubbed out and smelly and all this stuff. You know, I mean, I told her, we're going to clean up that act, because I think that's robbing from us from being successful, recruiting, when we're out. So that's a new thing. But now with this program, I got a whole new and I'll share with you what we're going to do now, because that's going to kind of change things too. I'm not just out there trying to find somebody who breathes anymore. Of course, I never. What's a way around somebody who just breathes? Is your discovery process. When you meet somebody, you can do a discovery process and find out how they breathe. Are they big, strong breathers? Or are they barely alive breathers? I mean, you know, you can do a lot of things about discovery and find out if they dream, if they have important things in their lives. We keep trying to find, you know, the discovery we talk about a lot is finding people's needs. And sometimes we find they have 1,000 needs. And then we try to put them in our business to solve all their 1,000 needs. And it's just like one crisis after another. We get so wrapped up in that we no longer are doing Manatech. Now, again, that's great charity work. It's great mission field work. But it's not doing the business. So you got to distinguish those two. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with helping people who have not, because I do it all the time. But don't confuse it with your business. When you get that confusion going on, you're going to struggle, and then you're going to blame the business for not working, okay? Because you're always out there trying to save somebody by putting them in your Manatech business. So the power of projection. So you want to project somebody. What do you want to project? You want to project what? The power of projection. When you go out there, what do you want to project? You want to project success. You want to project accomplishment. You want to project abundance. You want to project optimistic. You want to project determined. Now, some of you go, well, Mary Jo, but that's not me. I go, well, then work on you. And maybe this is where you can fake it till you make it, right? And I'm not I'm not really a big keen on fake it till you make it. I definitely don't believe you should ever lie to people. But you can come across confident, even though maybe somewhere downside you're going, oh, my gosh, I'm really nervous about this. But you come across confident, right? That's not lying. That's just projecting yourself in a way that you want to be. And, again, use affirmations to get you into that confidence realm. Come across accomplished. Come across with an abundance mentality. This is my mountain, and I'm going to climb it. I love that on the Switch video, right? Switch from the one that came out of Video Plus, you know, Switch from employee to entrepreneur. I love that video when he says, this is my mountain and I'm going to get to the top and nothing's going to stop me. Some of you are sitting back and going, well, Mary Jo, yeah, I thought that when I first joined Manatech, but now I'm not, you know, because I didn't, you know, do X, Y, Z. Why? Today's a new day. Your future has nothing to do with your past unless you choose to allow it to stop you. Really. You can create anything that you put your mind to. You just got to put your mind to it. But you got to choose to do it differently. Remember, if you do the same thing over and over again, you're going to get the same result. So you got to choose something different. And this is a great start right here, now, today. The Real Switch Challenge is great. All these things that Manatech is putting out is great to get you on a new track. That's why I told people when Real Switch Challenge came out, I said, throw away everything you have. Everything you have, throw away. Start new, start fresh, fall in love with this, and just run with it. And it's such a great way because it solves so many of our problems we have in America today. Healthcare disaster, economic disaster, and boy, do we have starvation occurring at our own corners, in our own streets. We don't need to go to Biafra to find, you know, malnourished kids. They're your next door neighbors today. So, okay, so power of projection. I know I harped on that a little bit, but it's big, and some of you get stuck on that, and I don't want you. I want you to project this confidence and this, you know, success and abundance, and it's just speak it into yourself. You know, spend time in the Word, spend time with, you know, great books. This is why self-development books is something that should be part of your life every single day. You should be listening to tapes and things. And I love that stuff. I don't do it every day, but I kind of live it every day. Lydia will tell you that. But it's next week I'm going to a whole week of training, because I'm dedicated to myself, to being the best I can be, so I can have the most impact out there that I possibly can. So it's important to make that investment in yourself. Number three, recruiting talent strategy number three, is using the right words in the right way. This is huge because, you know, I'm a huge person around words. I always tell people, I say, watch your language. Sometimes when I'm coaching and people say, well, I have to do this and I have to do this, and I go, stop. Can I just give you some feedback? And they go, yeah, Mary Jo, what's that? I said, have to. Every time you use the word have to, you're out of control. You're claiming somebody else is controlling your life. You're going victim to your life. It is so disempowering. It just robs from you. It steals your joy. It steals your energy. I said, so stop it. They go, well, what word do I use if I don't? I mean, I have to go to the store. And I said, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to breathe. You choose to do things. So just shift your language. I choose to go grocery shopping. This afternoon, I choose to pick up my kids from school. I choose to make dinner for my husband. If you just shift that one word in your vocabulary, your attitude will change dramatically. I bet you I could get 20% of the people off of antidepressants if I could just teach them to change the have-to language to choose to. Because now it's empowering. It's something that you believe, you have the choice. Now all of a sudden you go, wow, I got power. It's newfound power. But it's not really newfound. It's just newly recognized because you had given it away. So words are very powerful, and words in recruiting are very powerful. People listen to your words. So don't be careless. Don't just throw off and shoot from the mouth. Be careful with them. And I know you guys are anxious around that because every time I talk, typically people say, Mary Jo, could you write that down? Could you send it to me? And I might be a better wordsmith than others, but I'm not as good as there's thousands of people better than Mary Jo. It's just I came from lawyering background, so perhaps I'm more careful with my word usage. And that, I'm not talking about grammar. I'm talking about how you say things to help motivate people, how you say things to help get to know them and not step on their toes, and how you just work with people to make them feel good about themselves. I love it. I love my phone calls today. I love talking to people. We get emails all the time that are just blessings beyond belief. But it's fun because it's fun to just focus on others and just be the best you can be with them to give them the best, you know, feedback on, you know, how, you know, what their life is and how you honor them. And so what Falcone talks about, he has a peak interest question that he uses all the time when he's working with professionals. And here's what the question says. Are you ready? Here's the question. Do you at all keep your options open in terms of making any money outside of what you are currently doing in the blank profession, whatever profession it is? Let's say you're going after somebody in the real estate profession. Do you at all keep your options open in terms of making any money outside of what you're currently doing in the real estate profession? So what do you ask? He spent years developing this question. He used so many different issues, and this is how he developed it. And I don't think I put it in the outline, but I can send it to you. But I'm more anxious. I don't really care about sending it to you unless you're committed to going and, you know, trying to do this approach in your business. But he loves it. When he meets people, he'll go, and I'll tell you ways that he meets people, but he'll talk to people and he'll say, hey, you're in the real estate business. You know, that's awesome, because I really always respect people who do that, because, you know, it's a business that really takes on, you know, a lot of your own self-confidence. You got to be self-confident because you're not getting a day-to-day paycheck. And he says, I'm an entrepreneur also, and I'm trying to grow my business right now looking for partners. So do you keep your options open in terms of making any money outside of what you're currently doing in the real estate profession? Isn't that cool? So first of all, he honors them in their profession. He talks about being an entrepreneur himself who's, you know, looking to grow his business, and ask him then, do you keep it all your options open in terms of making money outside of what you're currently doing in your real estate profession? It's great. Powerful, isn't it? It's great. Great language. So you bet I'm going to memorize that? Oh, you bet. It's going to be down pat. It's going to become part of my languaging. And I'm going to go out and have fun with it, because I'm going to, you know, I'm taking this thing and I'm just going to run with it, because I want to create something different. Not that what I'm creating isn't great, but there's always different ways of doing it, and these are great strategies. Recruiting talent strategy number 4 is this: train yourself to look for opportunities. Wow. The eyes cannot see those things they are not trained to see. So you got to train yourself to see them. He says signs are everywhere. Ask yourself, is that an opportunity? And what does he mean by signs? He means driving down the street, you see a sign for a house for sale. What do you just have right then? There's hardly a sign on a house for sale that doesn't have some real estate broker's name on it with a telephone number. Boom, contact, stop the car, write it down, don't get in an accident. Okay, stop the car, write it down, put their number down. Are you interested in buying the house? No, you just got a brand new contact. And you guys tell me, oh, I don't know how to get contacts. Are you kidding me? They're all over the place. Isn't this fun? Let's say you go, now, What do people tell you to do? You go to Walmart and they have this message board, right? And what do people tell you to do in network marketing? They tell you, oh, get a little piece of paper, type up all the guru stuff, best deal in the world, hey, make millions of dollars, 12 months to success, we can help you do it, join us and change your life, you know, and you put little tabs at the bottom of the piece of paper that they can tear off with your name and telephone number so people call you, right? Do you do that? I've heard people tell you that. Or they what do? They say, hey, stick your business card, get a pen, one of those little pins, stick it through it and stick your business card on that. Because you're looking for business, right? Well, that's what we're told to do. How about the opposite? Everybody's going, what do you mean, Mary Jo, opposite? How about the opposite? How about going and looking at a bulletin board, taking a notepad with you, and writing down everybody's name and number and what they do off of the business cards that are posted there? Those are all people looking for business. Well, what might they be interested in doing your business with you? They're looking for business because they're looking to increase their income. And you have a great mechanism to increase their income. So why are we not taking everybody else's information? Is you can look at every one of those bulletin boards and find 1,000 leads. Is that awesome? Did you ever think about doing that? Incredible idea, isn't it? Great. You got grocery stores. You got Starbucks. You got 101 places where they post things, and you can find those anywhere. You can actually go in the newspaper and find them. People put ads in the newspaper. You can call up those ads, following up those things. You get so many things. And what do? Hey, I'm expanding my business as an entrepreneur. I love working with super smart people, and I'd be interested in knowing if you keep your options open in terms of making any money outside of what you're currently doing in the insurance profession or whatever it is. Is that great language, too? That's some more language that he used. Great. I'm expanding my business as an entrepreneur. I love working with super smart people. That's great language. But then it goes back to what? Do you at all keep your options open in terms of making any money outside of what you're currently doing in the real estate profession? Great. And if they say no, then do you have interest in them? No, but this is a great question to ask, interest question, okay? But retrain yourself to look for opportunities everywhere you go. Anytime you see a name and telephone number and somebody in the business, you write it down. Keep track of it. So what do we need to have? We need to have a notepad with us all the time, whether it's a little book, a notepad that we put in our purse or whatever, but we got to be ready to grab these opportunities everywhere. How many of you think, just based on this alone, that you could leave your house today, go out for an hour, and come back with 50 new names and telephone numbers? I'm raising my hand. How simple is that to do? Yeah, so do that. And then the final recruiting strategy it gives, recruiting talent strategy number 5, is put the odds in your favor. The secret is prospecting people who are more likely to be successful in this business because of what they already do. The secret is prospecting people who are more likely to be successful in this business because of what they already do. Huge. That's putting the odds in your favor. Finding people that are more likely to be successful because of what they're already doing. Okay, great. Good 5 excellent talent strategies. Prospect profiling, he said, well, the number one thing you want to do, and this is very important because this isn't something I always do when I go out and look for people. I kind of grab anyone who's breathing in. I also look for people who are successful. But sometimes they're successful and they're salaried people. You ever have problems with salaried people? I already have a job, and I go, okay, what do I say then? I said, well, you know what? Let me tell you something about my mentors. This is me, okay? I said, let me tell you what my mentor once told me. He said, you know, Mary Jo, I work full-time at my job, and I work part-time at my fortune. So do you have any interest in taking on a part-time position that could potentially produce 10, 20 times what you're doing at your full-time job? Have you thought about it? See, so that's fun to, I mean, I can do that, but that's not Todd Falcone. That's just the idea how you come back at people like that. So you can also pursue those people. But, you know, the problem with salaried people is what? What's the problem with salaried people? Salaried people want to expect total security. They love job security. They love, of course, there's not much of that in the world today, but they love job security. They want to expect it. They want to have, you know that a check is going to come in, and they have a different mindset than somebody who's already entrepreneurial, right? So which ones do you think you're going to have more success with, people that are already entrepreneurial in some way, shape, or form, or people who are salaried? Good conclusion, the people who are entrepreneurial already. So he says the commonalities, you want to find people in professions that have common things that we have in network marketing. One is they like selling, leading, or managing, right? How many times are you letting people, oh, I don't like to sell? And you go, here we go again, right? Here we go again. You know, I started thinking about the people that said, I don't like to sell, and, you know, we have 101 ways to convince them to get into Manatech anyway, because when we get done with them, they go, well, yeah, I guess you're right, Mary Jo, I sell every day of my life. And I go, right. But, you know, when I look back at some of those people in my organization, and you know, I tapped in my memory when I was putting together this outline for the call today, and I started thinking, you know, none of those people that I convinced about selling have ever gotten to executive or presidential. None of them. And I could only think of one that got to the national level. But the rest of them petered out. Some of them never even made it to regional. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, here I'm doing all this convincing about people who don't want to sell, and then they get involved in Manatech, and they, you know, some of them take off, and they finally get it. But I'm still stuck with people that don't perhaps ever get it. Mary Jo might have helped convince them that that's really what they do every day of their life, but they still are so out of their comfort zone, and they don't want to be out of their comfort zone, and they really like the security of a job, so you know what, this doesn't work for them. So, but I'm not saying don't stop doing that. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be more comfortable, again, remember what Todd Falcone's premise is, do things that maximize your time. Find people who are already in selling, leading, or managing, because that's what network marketing is about. Number two, find people who are paid on production. In other words, they're not salaried. They're paid on what they do. They're paid by the results they create. So they're going to love it because they get to be in control of their future. When I looked at Manatech, I had been entrepreneurial so much of my life, so when I looked at Manatech and that, you know, I started going, am I really going to do this as a business? It was like a natural extension for Mary Jo because it was like, hey, I don't know anything about it, but you know what? I love jumping out. I love jumping out. I'll try it. I work for myself. I set up my own law practice. I started from scratch. I mean, that's entrepreneurial. The best, putting your whole life at stake and saying, okay, I'm going to go out and set up my own law practice. And I did it. I bought a business and I started a business. I bought another business and went into another business. I mean, I've been in that ilk all my life. And those are the kind of dynamics you're looking for, somebody who really doesn't, what's the next thing? Moderate to high risk tolerance. Those are people that really don't, risk is nothing to them because whatever I lose today, I can gain back tomorrow. So it's not, and you know what's so funny about that? I started thinking about it the other day because my husband is now in his early 60s and we've been building his retirement account. And the guys gave him a notice that said, you're too out of balance in your retirement account. You need to come in and talk to, you know, do you want a financial consultant? And he brought it home. He said, honey, what do you think we should do? And, you know, and I was kind of giggling because they were trying to suggest to him that he had too much of his money at risk, that he should be in bonds making a quarter or 1% a year or something, whatever it is, you know, on his money. And so I had to sit with my husband and just kind of review with him what they wanted him to do versus what I wanted him to do because he's not a risk taker, right? But, I mean, these are people that are just about, you know, they do this with anyone over 55 in that business because they are worried that they're going to lose everything, and they don't want them to lose it. They want them to, you know, because they don't have time to gain it back again. And I looked at my husband. I said, what do you think? Do you think we have time to gain it back again? What if we lost everything, honey? I said, do you think we'd gain it back again? Well, he kind of freaked out a little bit because he's part of that stuck in the job. And but to me, it was like I looked at him. I said, you know what? I just got this incredible sense of joy in my life. If everything we had left today, I have this sense of joy of, it's a challenge. And he just looked at me, he thought I was nuts. So some of you fall on, you know, we can fall on both ends of the spectrum of that, but the challenge of being going out and going and recreating it is just a blast. And I think you can, all I'd have to do is like just really go crazy in Manatech. If I didn't spend time on my foundations and my real estate and my other things that I'm doing as well, if I just spent like 12 hours a day in Manatech, which I did at one stage of my life, I could rebuild and go back and, you know, rebuild whatever we lost today in the next 5 to 10 years, if it would even take that long. But the idea is that risk tolerance, you want to find people who are high risk tolerance. They don't have to be quite like Mary Jo perhaps, but you're looking for people that are willing to step out and do something that might look risky to them. Those are the people, that's the commonality you want to find. ideal prospects, he even gave a list of those. He said real estate brokers, right? Real estate, realtor, estate professionals, mortgage brokers, insurance agents, small business owners, salespeople with an account executive, sales managers, and directors of marketing. Okay, there's seven categories in there. How many people do you think fall into those categories? I'm going to tell you, millions of people fall in those categories. There are millions of them everywhere. In fact, if you stay home today, one will probably knock on your door. You don't even have to go outside your house. But I'm not telling you not to leave your house. I'm just saying there are millions of them out there. There's salesmen everywhere, and they're all looking for other forms of income. So you just got to open your eyes to it and find, where do I locate these people and how do I get a hold of them? And B&I groups are great. That's one way you find some of them. But there's hundreds of ways to find them. And they're just, you've got to get creative and go out and find them. They're advertising. These guys are always trying to get their name out there all the time. So, but what you want to do, again, get back to it. Quality you put in your business is the quality that you're going to get out of your business. So the higher quality you find to be partners with, and now that we're talking about only finding four, I'm going to tell you, you want four quality partners. This is the direction you want to go. Find those quality partners. So number six is in the outline today is just immediate action steps to recruit more quality into your business. Start looking for talent everywhere you prospect. So just get the idea that you're picking up what? You're going to pick up names. You're going to pick up telephone numbers. You're going to pick up that. No matter where you go, you're always going to be eyes open to look and pick up things. Number two, project an image of success now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till 11 o'clock this morning. Okay? It's already 11. Don't wait till 11:05. Do it now. Start now projecting that image of success. Number three, invest your time where it matters most. Quit pouring your time into things that don't matter. Quit locking down and shutting off. Time is your only limited asset, so how are you using your time today? What are you doing? Be most efficient with that time. We do so many crazy things that are so inefficient for ourselves, and then we wonder why we create disasters. Okay? So make sure you're investing your time where it matters most. Self-check regularly, right? Look at quality and quantity. How much time, how much quality? What am I getting out of it? Some people say, well, Mary Jo, I've been chasing this guy, and how many calls do you make before? And I said, how many calls? I make like one. If they don't show up or they don't follow through on what they tell me they're going to do, I'll make one more call, and it looks like this. I go, hey, John, you know what? I'm really concerned about you because I know how responsible you are, and you missed our appointment yesterday at 4 o'clock. And so I'm a little discouraged about it because I think maybe something really happened to you. So give me a call back and let me know if you're okay. That's it. My last call. If they can't respond to that, they're not going to be, I don't want them as a partner in my business. You go, well, do I do four calls? Do I chase them down? How many of you have chased people for months? Right? It's like you're coming from scarcity, like there's no more people out there if I lose this one. Are you kidding me? He's the guy you don't want to even be anywhere near because he's not into commitment. He doesn't show up. You want to drag him across the finish line. Oh, my gosh. You're going to call me in 2 years, say, Mary Jo, Manatech doesn't work. And I go, no, it works. You just tied yourself to a sinking ship. So we don't want to do that anymore, okay? So self-check regularly, quality and quantity. Keep your eyes open. Always be aware, right? You always want to be aware. Over and over, keep your eyes open. Always be aware. Practice the approach. That means practice over and over and over again. Practice the script. Do what successful people do. That's what you want to do is practice the language. I gave you some great language today. And master the method, yeah, of going out there and finding successful people. Now, let me just finish with this. I'm not here to promote Todd Falcone. I'm just telling you I loved his training. I think it's awesome. And he does have some materials out there that he markets that if you wanted to look at. And I'm seriously, I'm just telling you that happens to be what I'm seriously looking at because I want to build to be the best I can be. And I'm also thinking about maybe training this down the road. But I want to, the last thing I want to do is train something before I do it successfully. So I want to try it. I'm going to try the system probably in the next 30 days. You can actually buy his system and use it for 30 days. And if you're not totally happy with it, you can send it back and get 100% of your money back. It's like Manatech. He's got 100% money back guarantee. That's a good thing, isn't it, people? But I don't want you to do that. I'm not here promoting it. And I don't ever want any of you to buy Todd Falcone's system, okay, if you're not going to use it. Because you know why 90% of the people don't send it back? 90% of the people it doesn't work for? Because they don't use it. You've got to be willing to commit. If you're going to choose a 30-day period, some of you are going, man, this is the worst 30-day period because I got, you know, I got Thanksgiving and I got Christmas coming up. Well, great, then don't do it. But you know what? Those things aren't going to stop coming up in your life. Come January, you're going to have something else come up. Come out, you're going to have something else come up. How much longer are you going to put your business on the back burner? That's just my question to you. But if you go out there and do it and you buy it, and let's say you, 30 days and you feel, oh, Mary Jo, I really didn't give it a fair shake, send it back. Send it back. It didn't work for you. Send it back. All he's doing is saying, you know what? If you don't use it or you use it, it doesn't work for you, send it back. That's really what he's saying. He doesn't say that, but that's what he's saying. Because I'm going to suggest to you then a month from now when you think you have time, then go and buy it again. And you go, well, maybe he already sent it back. No, buy it under your husband's name or something. Okay? I'm not trying to beat the system. I'm just saying I want you to, if you're going to use the system, I want you to make sure you're 100% dedicated to use it. All right. So if you're interested in looking at some of that stuff, you can look at it. It's called recruitup.net. That's the website for Todd Falcone. And again, I'm not a promoter of Todd Falcone. I just loved what I heard in the webinar. And it's recruit, R-E-C-R-U-I-T, recruitup.net. And you can see his different packages he has there. And if you want to do that, that's fine. If you don't, I'm doing it. I'm going to do one because, and I don't know which one yet. Lydia and I are discussing that. But I want to pour myself into it. I think this is a great way to just build endless leads for myself as well. And that's worth a fortune. And then plus, I really want to work with languaging. I'm so intent today on doing what other people tell me to do instead of doing what I've always done. And you can say, well, Mary Jo, but you've been so successful. It doesn't matter. I want to do something different. I want to do something different. I want to build a new challenge for myself, and this is the way I'm doing it. I'm doing it by taking master's approaches. I'm taking Manatech's approach and master's approaches, and I'm going to approach my business exactly that way. So, all right, people, love you. Sorry we ran over today a little bit. Any questions or comments? How did you guys, did you enjoy this? Is this something that helped you, or is this, any feedback from the field?
Mary Jo, this is Mary in Columbus, Ohio.
Just
want to say thank you. The thoughts and comments were just what I needed to go in a little different direction. So thank you for sharing that.
There you go. Perfect. So it hit you somewhere in the way you were thinking or approaching your business, and you're going,
oh, silly. And actually, last week, I just made a personal decision that I just have to talk to different people.
Yeah. There you go.
I have to be talking to different people because I'm getting the same results. And so, you know, it's insanity to keep on doing the same thing and expecting different results.
Well, praise God. Good. So the Lord laid this on my heart, put Ted Falcone in my life for you. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Hey, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
This is Dwayne from Maryland. How are you?
I'm good.
This was a great topic today.
Yeah.
My question is to you, you were talking about the dream board on Thursday that you're doing.
Friday.
Do you have a guide on Friday? Do you have a kind of outline of how to do that if I wanted to get a group together to do that?
Sure. I can just send you, I can pop that out just the way I do it. I'll just put a little note out to everybody on the Monday call on how to hold. I mean, it's really simple. I really don't need it's probably easy for me to tell you what to do. You tell everybody who's coming, and usually what I do is I go out and I buy the poster board. And those poster board sizes are, what are they, Lydia? There's only one size, you know, the big poster boards, and I get them white, the big poster boards white, because they're so cheap. I buy, if five people are coming, I buy five, if ten, I buy ten, whatever. So I tell them, don't worry about that. And I also, but I tell them to bring a scissors and a glue stick, and then bring at least 10 to 15 magazines. So they go, okay, so I don't even subscribe to magazines. I said, you know, like good home, you know, good housekeeping and things that excite you, travel magazines, things like that. I don't want Time magazine. I want, you know, all those kind of special interest magazines. And I said, if you don't have any, go to the used books score and pick up. You can buy them there for 25 cents, right? Old ones. And you just buy a bunch. Look at things that really interest you that float your boat, like exciting things that excite you, whether it's architecture or travel or music or arts or children or mission field, whatever it is. Buy magazines that really excite you, and then bring the, those 10 to 15 magazines, and that's how. And they show up, and then we go to town. We have a blast. All you do is you page through magazines, you put them all in a big pile. You can swap them, you can exchange them, you can giggle and laugh about what you're looking for, and people go, you know what, I'm looking for this. I want like a picture of a sailboat. So everybody who's looking now, they have the idea that somebody's looking for a sailboat, so they might find one in their mag. And you just cut out, you just tear them out as you go through them. And then what you do is you take your scissors, cut around them, and you put lay them out on your dream board, however you want to lay them out, because it's your dream board. Yep. And I'll give you a cute one. When I did my very first dream board, you're going to get a kick out of this about marriage. I'm telling myself about my nature in the past that I've worked on now. But I had a friend of mine who was there with me. We had like 30 people doing it. And... And she was like one of my good friends in Manatech. Her name is Scotchy Bates. And I found lettering that said, Beat Scotchy. And I put that on my dream board. Isn't that fun? It was just fun. It was like, I'm going to beat you, Scotchy. We're both like, you know, just signed up, and we're going to, I'm going to beat you in this Manatech business. Yeah. Isn't that hilarious? Yeah.
So,
you bet. So you can even cut out letters and numbers and all sorts of things. The other thing, let me tell you one more thing I do. I bring to the dream board parties, I bought like a stack of these $1 million bills, these fake $1 million bills, and I give people those because a lot of people like to plaster that on their dream boards as well. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You bet. Have fun with it. They're a blast. Okay, everybody. Love you all, and we'll be in touch. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week before I take off on my trip. Okay? We will have a call next week. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.